We get signal, my screen turn on. You're listening to the radio program about Hackers Places. This is your little radio program about Hackers Places.
And welcome to the Hackerspace Hour, and I'm joined by Flyco and GMC, and I think it's time for some epically music.
Really? I actually wasn't ready for that.
Oh, right. Oh, sorry. Let me just go at... And Fizz is doing his talk too, so I wanted him to be also, but he will join us next time, I think, on the next conference. Welcome back to the Hackerspace Hour, and we actually have a special guest from the United States, Flyco. Good afternoon.
Hello, thank you for inviting me, Doctor.
No problem. Pleasure to have you with us. So yeah, it's the last day of ETH7. I'm a bit sad because the conference is really great.
Yeah, we're past the halfway point, and you know, people are starting to feel a little bit sleepy, and maybe a little bit sad.
Yeah, and you mean it's a good conference, a small conference, a lot of great people, even some international guests like you, and that's if you have those people, it makes a conference even more special.
Thank you. I'm really honored. Everyone here has been so interested in the fact that I came and that I joined, you know, everyone at the event, and I had such a good time at some of the previous events that I promised. I said I would be here, and so we part of that was a build up and working on things together with people, and that spirit of having projects and putting something together and then sitting back and watching, you know, something you've built.
Yeah.
Even being on the radio here with you and doing stuff at Binary Voice has been amazing. I had no idea that I would be involved with the station, that I'd be speaking and you know, joining you. So it's really interesting what can happen.
Yeah, you've been a central part even with your proposition 52A.
Yeah, 52A.
Mm-hmm.
52A.
It's important.
Important thing. Yeah, especially the radio for such a small event. It's awesome people who are doing it. GMC is the technician now. Thank you. It's great.
It's fun to do.
Awesome. So, Flyco.
Sure.
From the United States. And you have been traveling throughout of Europe.
This year I've been traveling quite a bit. Yeah, we were speaking earlier, and that's how I found out you were doing the Hackerspace radio show. And I absolutely had a lot to share, and I wanted to say a little bit about that trip. After 2063 in Germany over Christmas, I planned with Emmanuel to go on a trip through the Western Balkans.
Yeah.
He had some family out there, and I had a friend that had actually been an exchange student when I was in high school.
Oh,
and he had been, you know, asking me, come to Macedonia. And so this trip sort of developed, it sort of grew. And so I said to Emmanuel, yeah, sure, I'll join you. I actually have a friend that wants me to come out to Skopje in Macedonia.
Yeah.
And Emmanuel's route and what we ended up doing, basically took us through. We started in Croatia and we visited, I think about 6 countries.
Wow.
Throughout the Western Balkans there. And we were doing radio, obviously, for Off the Hook and letting people know, like listeners and 2,600 members, just letting them know that we'd be in the area. And we got all these emails and responses, and there's quite a thriving hackerspace scene out there in the Western Balkans. And we ended up in some pretty unlikely places where you wouldn't imagine there'd be a hackerspace, and they really amazed us.
Yeah, but it's like the old Balkan. I didn't even know there were hackerspaces or hackers active. Well, you see all the deface hackers, you know, the bad guys.
Yeah,
that's a big thing.
Well, that's really, really big in America. Like, you know, we're constantly having to fight this this attitude that hackers are evil or they're scary. And
scary. Stealing your credit card.
Yes. Scary. But the reality is, that's just not true. And we found a lot of support for, you know, these spaces were awesome. You know, not only were there spaces and there were hackers out in places like Zagreb in Croatia, or Ljubljana in Slovenia,
mm-hmm.
And in Macedonia, there was a really fledgling, very new hacker space in Macedonia, in Skopje.
Right.
But they were really awesome. Like, they were great places. Cyberpipe in Ljubljana was in a former dance club.
Wow.
And they had the whole basement, and it was really nice. They just sort of reconfigured the space, which is already like sort of modern and, you know, very nice design. They just reconfigured, put in some servers and, you know, some hardware hacking benches and that kind of thing, and some terminals, and they actually have a museum of old computers and stuff that actually work. Yeah. So that was amazing to see that. And their biggest problem was that their internet is too fast, and they want more people to
too fast.
Yeah. And they want more people to come to the space, but because the internet in Ljubljana is so cheap and fast, they would stay at home. So they were really trying to like promote events and have people gather.
So I've also heard stories about a hackerspace on the beach in that region. Have you been there?
No. Do you know where?
No. Amazing. It's one of those nights like last night. So I don't remember which one
sure,
it was.
Sure. No, I'm not familiar with that one. But I mean, it was amazing. They're everywhere. And this one, Cyberpipe in Ljubljana, was open for a while. I mean, it was a little bit more established than places like in Skopje. They were just starting. And they had maybe like one small room, about the a couple meters across this way and that was it. And they were just getting started. But the interesting thing is they're, you know, you see them at different stages, but the ones that are really developed, like in Zagreb, the name of it is failing me. But in Zagreb and in Ljubljana, some of the more established ones actually got started with seed money and they're subsidized and they get help from the government, which, wow. Again, like the, is a lot of support.
I don't expect that in an old East Bloc country.
Sure. And it's quite contrary to what we're getting in the States. People are barely able to start and they're like, you know, getting by and trying to get people to pool money together. And charging dues and stuff like that. But to go to a space that's sponsored and not sponsored, but, you know, subsidized, they get government. And there's problems with that, too. But they get a lot of support. They're not, you know, outcasts or they don't have to be underground or constantly working against the community. These people are like more a part of the community. That was especially true in Croatia, in Zagreb. They're really tied with like the political movements and they're sort of outspoken. They don't let stuff slide. You know, they're very attuned to like the politics and stuff in the area. So,
wow, so
that's just a sampling. That I think those were the main places. You know?
So like a lot of political activists.
Yes, it's very intertwined the two movements, and I think that's. That's a reoccurring theme is how intertwined we are.
Yeah, sure.
And it was really a joy to visit the spaces and to just broadcast it and then have people welcome you and show you their space and walk around and see their town and hear what they're dealing with. And and then I could compare it with things I was seeing in the States. And just in the past couple of years, we've been seeing a lot more hackerspaces in the States and around the world. So contrasting, sharing information, learning how they're able to pay for certain things or what kinds of events they're having, what are their problems, what things are good, and, you know, what can we learn? And it's that sharing and stuff that I think is gonna continue to strengthen the movement itself. So
let's discuss more of this after a bit of music.
1 for assistance.
We get signal, main screen turn on. You're listening to the radio program about Hackerspaces. This here little radio program about Hackerspaces.
And welcome back to the Hackerspace Hour. And Flacco told us some nice stories about his trip to out the Balkan and the hackerspaces he saw. Could you tell us maybe more about, did you see much differences between spaces in the Balkan and the United States? Because it's a really big open question. I mean, not every space is like full of hackers. You have open source people, you have people who want to create much things, you have the activists.
Yes. I was thinking about the specialization and sort of the diffusion in the US, in particular in Seattle. There's a lot of spaces, they know each other, but people sort of break away because they're interested in one specific type of project. Mm. And because it's not centralized and sort of supported and financed, it's not a repository for all things,
yeah,
and sort of diverse, people have to sort of get along on their own. They don't have a choice but to, you know, survive. And I think as what we could do better in the States, and what we could learn from what I saw, was that people ought to stick together, because we need to, if we didn't have to think about, you know, surviving, paying rent, you know, having time or maintaining the space. Yeah. If we had a lot more support and unity, I think people would be able to devote their time and energy into more projects and continuing on. I think one thing I wanted to say was that, even, you know, it's still growing all over the world. And, you know, this
is a total new movement.
Yeah. Yeah. It's really amazing. It just, the last couple of years has really exploded. Yeah. And even when I was in countries in the Balkans that did not have an actual space, we were we had done some radio and we were getting emails from people, and we were meeting up with hackers that were working on open source stuff, that were, you know, trying to learn English from us, and just sharing like how they found out about like 2600, for instance, the magazine, and and how they identify and relate. And it was really, really, really interesting, because they want spaces too. You know, if they don't have them, you know, there's people there that are doing these things, and it's like the next logical step for them to have a place to meet locally. And that really, I think, is really important, because you can work on your projects. You can have sort of a home base and learn about what other people are doing in your community. And the information sharing is crucial. And I think that's going to hurt us in my community in Seattle. I think people going off in different directions just because they have to survive and they don't agree, or they don't necessarily enjoy what one group is doing, they don't get that knowledge sharing. And one of the great things about spaces is you can go there, you can ask a question, you can just inquire. There's teaching and learning opportunities in any given moment at a hackerspace. You can in one instance, be talking about something, some information that you know, and in the other instance, asking someone, or they can be sharing and teaching you about something they have expertise in. And all of a sudden, maybe you're then teaching the same thing, or you're, you know, becoming a channel for, you know, someone else. Maybe. Yeah. Yeah. And even, it's not always technical stuff. This is not specific to like computer software or telephones or just soldering.
It's completely diverse.
I mean, yes.
At the Revelation space, for example, you have like a lot of people with an open source background, a lot of people who do security, but also people who do a lot of with photography and makeup bots. It's, if people are interested in stuff and you want to learn or do stuff and you want to learn from each other,
I mean, a hackerspace is quite diverse, because what is a hackerspace? A hackerspace is what you make from it.
Absolutely.
And what you do with it. And it's a pity the spaces don't work together in one big space where you can learn much more, and it's much more cozy when you have like a lot of people in one big space.
Right.
Well, you
right.
have these hackathons, you know, where it's been coordinated on the hackerspaces mailing lists, where just several hackerspaces would just at the same time hack on projects. And actually, a while back, there was like this project where people would put a camera against the wall and a projector, and the other space would also do that. So basically, you would extend your own space by projecting another space on an empty wall. So you would, in that way, visually link together the spaces. And that would be really cool to try that a bit more.
That would be really cool.
We've talked about that a little bit in Seattle. I believe it was NYC Resistor in New York wanting to link with HBL so that we could have a live feed all the time. But people were sort of, you know, where do we put the camera and what do we do in front of the camera and who's watching? But no, that's brilliant, you know. And
no, if it's just like the room is twice the size it is, and you can see each other. I mean, if you do that and decide to work on a project together, well, maybe it would be a bit confusing that you stand up and try to walk in the other room. But
absolutely.
Awesome.
Yeah, well, you know.
Some music?
Yeah, go ahead. We'll be right back.
And welcome back to the Hackerspace Hour, and still joined by guests Flyco and Jim C.
Hello. Hello.
Hiya.
We talked before the music break about hackathons and how to get people to your stuff. And I think we actually should do that in Holland. Maybe join by Belgium Hackerspace to do something cool.
Like, yeah, sure. I mean, we can just see when the next global hackathon is and join that. Why not?
Yeah, that actually sounds like a plan.
Yeah, I think that's more doable. It's not an event per se. You're not having to do all these extra logistics. You can. It's more impromptu, and it doesn't have to be as comprehensive. You know, it's very, very focused and can even be virtual in some sense. We talked about that a little bit.
Yeah.
I think that's a great idea, though. And part of that is seeing and display, seeing what other people are doing. And I think the camps really help articulate that.
Yeah.
And so people, Definitely. Yeah, they can, you know, check out what other people are doing and then network and make contact and share in the future, either online or at smaller events or hackathon, like you're mentioning.
Yeah. Because Koen, you have the Hackerspace in The Hague.
Mm-hmm.
Is it well? If you look at the Hackerspace, do a lot of people have projects or just do a lot of stuff for their own?
Yeah, well, of course they have their own projects. Yeah, so like for example, Jurrit, who's also here, he also runs camps for children, computer camps, basically. He wanted a system to do quizzes. So you know, like four buttons, and whoever presses first gets to give the answer. So yeah, that, for him, that was an opportunity to get into Arduinos, for example, and well, he never did anything with electronics or microcontrollers before. He just got one of our members imports them to the Netherlands. So he got one of the boards, he got some components from the internet and some wires and some boxes, and he just started working. And yeah, so within 2-3 weeks, he had a nice quiz system.
Oh, sweet! Because when you started the Revelation Hackerspace, were there like a lot of projects going on, or
it was a bit kickstarting this. I mean, we started the space in September, right after Hacking at Random.
All right.
We had some meetings at my office in the evenings, and we tried to put some content in that, like discuss electronics, or we had a guy tell us something about Android hacking, how to program it. But we found that was nice in the beginning, but I mean, it's difficult to find something that everyone is interested in, because basically we've given up on that and just had a pizza and some beer, and then finally we had the space, and that then it really started off, because then people could come in and diverge and work on projects on their own or with other people in subgroups, and it works better than we don't have anything that everyone is involved with, actually, except the space itself, I guess, but
I find that really exciting. That's one attribute I completely relate to, that, like the feeling that people are doing individual stuff, some people are collaborating, a couple of people, every now and then you get a big project for the whole space, but that's more, you know, rare, and it's usually for an event or a camp or something that you guys want to get together and show off a little bit. But that's exciting because there's all this stuff going on.
It is, yeah.
And people intersecting and all of that teaching and learning, again, just goes back and forth and back and forth, and it's just a thriving sort of really alive sense, and it's really cool.
It's also nice because we have several rooms in our space, so yeah, you'll be sitting on the couch and then you think, oh, have an interesting conversation, and you think, okay, let's play a bit of pinball, then you walk on to the electronics lab, and well, someone's working there, so you draw some diagrams together, and then the guy goes soldering, so you wander off again where people are hacking on I don't know, software routers, and there's all the dynamics going on, and that's really beautiful.
I think it's more productive too.
Yeah.
I mean, honestly, things get done because you can share. You're not being like lone wolf trying to just go it alone with no help and just searching in a web browser to try to figure everything out. you are amongst other people, and it's productive.
Absolutely. It brings insights that you wouldn't have on your own in your own room, because people tend to look at stuff in just a slightly different angle, and that provides insights that you would never have gotten. And that's, for me, the real added value of this hackerspace.
Absolutely.
And it's also interesting, sorry for interrupting you, but it's also interesting to see, I mean, we have a really open policy. Basically, anyone can come visit us if there are members there. And it also brings in all kinds of interesting people. I mean, we had at one time completely non-hacker person who just rang the bell and said, hey, it was 2 o'clock in the morning, said, hey, I heard you can get mate here. Yeah, sure. So we sold her a bottle of mate, and we had a talk about what she was doing. And so you meet all kinds of people, and not just the ones you would expect or always meet already at work or at school, or all different people. And it makes your own life so much richer.
Right. It leaves room for chance.
Sorry?
It leaves room for chance.
Exactly.
Oh, wonderful. Yeah. The spice of life. Yeah. Oh, it's brilliant.
Because I feel like how the last year developed, especially after hacking at random, there's a lot of more, some sort of structured about the hacker scene in the Netherlands. Because before how I see it, I'm not really familiar with this. I'm still new in the whole scene. But especially I started the meetings because of the 2600, because Clubhack, which was basically the same, meet up in Utrecht with some hackers and have some good food and beer. There was nothing actually about it anymore. And when I saw Hacking at REM announced too, and after that you got a REM data, revelation space and skills, it exploded. We are doing a nice conference now.
And
discussing this.
I mean, there's like a real gap between, what I'd like to say, the olden days, the Amsterdam scene around the Squatter, the Hectic magazine, all this stuff, and what we have now, I think, because if you look, for example, at the events like Hacking at Random, What the Heck, Hall 2001, they were up until Hacking at Random organized basically by the same people. There was not a lot of influx of newer, younger people like yourself. And I think that's really coming around now. Like the guys at ETH0, they bring in a lot of new blood to say. What you're doing with 2600, and it's great to see this whole new generation of hackers basically come out and join and get things moving.
Yeah.
I love being a part of that too. If you would ask me a year ago that I'd be sitting here now, I mean, it'd be, I would say you're crazy. It's totally unexpected to be so involved and so welcome. It is important. I mean, I'm starting to see other generations too, and it's just amazing, because and that's one of the other wonderful parts about the spaces, is you get all people from all walks of life and serious layers of generations, and they can all collaborate and share and learn together in you know, one environment. And I think it's just so cool to learn something from someone who's, you know, a couple of years younger than you, and you're just like, whoa. I mean, they blow me away. Like, they're just crazy with like how you know, into like the Arduinos and stuff. I never grew up with that kind of thing, and I having only gotten involved in a hackerspace maybe like 2 years ago, like in a regular sense, when I was that age, like in middle school or high school even, I didn't have any sort of official like hackerspace, any place to go. And it's just amazing to now go and be a part of it. And I don't look back. I just want to do more and be involved and engaged. And I'm so happy that the younger generations, they have a place to go and they can, you know, teach and learn as much, you know. It's very cool.
Because when I started 2600, it started like an experiment. Like, I did no PR, like absolutely nothing, and just started the IAC channel, and random people would show up to look if there was something in the Netherlands, and it was a total experiment. I never expected to be still doing this stuff.
How long has it been going on now? Because I only joined, I guess, after Hacking at Random, but you were already doing this for a while then.
We did the first meeting April 2009, so it's about 1 year and a few months.
Yeah, okay.
And we started with 3 people, and the biggest meeting was 30 people, and we were like, oh.
We totally swamped the pub, yeah.
Yeah, but and also, like, we met some people from New York and London. We did the 2600 meetings there, and they were like, yeah, we get like 30, 40 people a month. And we were like, whoa, we at that time, we got like 10 or 12 people every month. We were like, whoa, that is big. Mm-hmm. Like, yeah. 2-3 months after that, we got like a huge explosion of people from all over the country, and it was like, wow, that blew my mind. It was awesome.
I think the great thing about these 2600 NL meetings is you just meet informally, and you can just it's about anything, and I mean there's no pressure to get things done or whatever. Yeah, you're just sitting back enjoying some food and a beer, and
I like it.
Yeah, it's very similar in Seattle. The 2600 meetings are just people showing up, and it's just listening and talking, just conversation. People talking about work, and not work, and you know, things they'd rather be doing instead of work. And students, and you know, people from really interesting realms. You know, people you would never ordinarily meet, and just sort of thrown together and just talking, relax, no pressure, no agenda, no. Timetable, you know, you can sit there for a couple hours and just
laid
hear
back.
Wild stories. Yeah, really laid back, and you hear some of the funniest stories, and then you know, you bump into them at like a hackerspace, or one instance is my friend, I'm blanking on his name. At any rate, he was at a meeting and basically I started volunteering at a telephone museum, and I bumped into him there. And so it was just very bizarre to see him at this telephone museum volunteering with people from the telephone company. And it's a different sort of different place. It's sort of a hacker space for people involved in AT&T or Quest. And it's called the Museum of Communications. They allow people to come and look at the phones and stuff like that. And he was there, right? Same, Chronomex, that's him. Chronomex was at the Museum of Communications, and I'd only just started going to 2600 meetings, and it was cool. Like, we're the two hackers there working on the, working at the museum.
Mm.
So you get these interesting things, and same thing with like at, Hackerbot Labs. You know, I see, a couple people that have been at 2600 meetings, and they're at HBL, you know, so everybody sort of participates and shows up and goes to some of the different places, and you just it's bizarre. You bump into them and you've already met, you know, that kind of thing. It's just really nice to have old friends and new friends, and I don't know,
because when I do the 2600 NL meetings, like, a lot of people from different hackerspaces will show up. So it's somehow some sort of monthly hackerspace meetup with people from Random Data, Revelation Space, Moon and Space, Amsterdam, or whatever.
Yeah, so also a lot of people that are not strictly associated with the hackerspace.
No, nothing. Like really old school guys who did a lot of phone freaking. I'm 18, and people will show up which are like 55 or something, because age doesn't matter. It's the knowledge which counts, and he has like great stories.
Absolutely.
I'm way too young. I wasn't part of anything like that. So that's good to hear.
I did a bit of phone freaking in my my olden days.
Oh, that's...
These four rooms, bright and iron and withered fumes, far below these sinful means, gold has flown through loosened streams. I don't know why I'm here, I might have to disappear. If she bright and iron and withered fumes. Far below my sinful means, gold has flown through loosened streams.
And welcome back to the Hackerspace Hour. So, Flyco, what are you going to do after the ETH0 conference? Are you flying back to the States or are you visiting other things in the Netherlands?
Yes.
And what are you going to visit, like hackerspaces or Amsterdam?
That's a fantastic question, and I feel welcome. I'm flying back next week.
All right.
Via Antwerp in Belgium. I like taking the train, and I like Belgium in general. So I tend to choose that as the country of entry and exit. I talked to Brainsmoke a little bit at HAR, and then during build up and stuff, and he mentioned RevSpace and suggested, you know, you should check it out. It's an incredible hackerspace, and
it is
in The Hague, I believe.
Correct, yep.
And I said, oh well, gee, that's really sweet, you know. Thank you for inviting me to this space. You know, what, tell me more. Yeah, I wanted to know more. And I know other people that have gone on tours and gone to all different hacker spaces. And as we spoke about before in the Balkans, we were, you know, welcomed and invited to come check out different spaces. And that was a thrill. So I jumped at the opportunity. I was like, absolutely. Because, you know, I came, you know, I was here on Thursday. I did build up for, you know, 4 days, or I don't even know how many days, but it was a lot of days.
And a lot of hard nights.
Yes. And we carried fences, and yeah, I really enjoyed that. And I plan to do teardown and stuff like that, but I have like 4 days, 3 or 4 days before I have to hop a train and get back up towards or down towards Antwerp.
It's on the way, so.
Yeah, absolutely. And so I I'd never been to The Hague. I've never stopped in Rotterdam. And so I kept talking, and I met some of the founders of the space. I believe there's 4 individuals who founded it, or no, board members.
It's basically my brainchild. After HAR 2009, I thought, well, inspired by Fish of the space in Utrecht, I thought, yeah, let's just do it. So I went to all the expense declarations. I was the treasurer of the HAR, and I just emailed those people, hey, what about the hackerspace in The Hague? So I looked at who's in The Hague or surroundings, and well, I don't know if you know his nickname, Turifro. You've been talking to him, the AI guy.
Yes.
He's also one of our founding members. He was there at the first meeting, and he's been with us all throughout. So it's not just the board members. The board members are, well, okay, we are a bit more active. I mean, we do the shopping and we get to clean out the trash. For the rest, it's just, we the people who signed. But that's all irrelevant, basically, because all the other people, they make the space.
Yeah, I really made an effort to try to meet everybody. I enjoyed talking to, how do you pronounce his name?
I'm never sure. I never pronounce it, actually.
Okay, good, yeah.
We should ask him.
The individual you mentioned, I really enjoyed talking to him. And, I don't know. I wanted to meet as many people from the space beforehand, because I don't want to just show up and ring the doorbell at 2 in the morning. But
you wouldn't be the first. I mean, we get visitors like all the time. People from Ireland show up, and from everywhere. And it just doesn't matter. It's always fun to have guests.
Yeah. And so from there, I was able to kind of meet the guys and talk to all, you know, logistically, what does it take? you know, how can I transport, and can I help you guys with Teardown? Because I'm going to be doing a little bit, you know, with the ETH0 guys, but maybe I can sort of transition, start helping you guys, and then maybe get a ride and figure out. Brainsmoke offered that I could sleep on his floor, and, you know, we'll figure something out, you know, and it's just really cool. I feel so welcome that you know, there's excitement and enthusiasm, and, you know, we'll make it work, so... And I can always like break away, and I've never been to The Hague, and I mean, maybe go around and take some photos, because that's kind of what I do independently. So
yeah, because the total hackerspace scene, and not only the hackerspace scene, but it feels like one big warm family where you can talk to people and
absolutely.
Just come on over, we have a chat and a beer or something.
I'd love it. I'm all in, you know. It was just so I was really honored. I was like, wow, you know, that Brainsmoke suggested it, and then everybody else I talked to was just so into it, and like, yeah, you know, absolutely, this is what's up, this is how it works, and you know just come on down and join us. And so I'm all in. I'll you know, do whatever. I'll take out the trash.
Ah, cool. Because it's a bit smelly after a week of not having been there. But never mind. Have you been to? Let's change the subject quickly. Have you ever been to one of the Belgium spaces? Because you say you prefer to.
I haven't.
Okay.
I haven't. I've
shoot.
Been.
Okay. Definitely. Yeah.
Yeah. I've been to Brussels, once. Before Har, because I flew in to Brussels, and then I sort of staked it out, found the hostel, and then proceeded to get lost on my way to going to Har, which is a big long story, and we'll live on an infamy as folklore. But so I spent the week at Har, because basically I wanted to be there and build up. But then the week after, similar to this event, I had a couple of days and I walked around, but I didn't check out a space. I wasn't in the know. I didn't check hackerspaces.org. And I think in the future I will do things like that. And I don't know. I think there's one in Antwerp.
There is one. Yeah. They just opened 2 weeks ago, I guess. They are a bit underground. I mean, they have an underground cellar, but now it's at the whole Belgium hackerspace community. It's like real, it's a cool community, and they're all working together, you know, the different spaces, and it's beautiful to see that. I mean, you go to one space and you see the same guys that founded the space in a city 150 kilometers away. They do everything together there.
I actually had, you know, I just heard that while I was here, that one was, I think it was when we were talking about the KLM flight, I heard about a space opening up in Antwerp, and I was like, whoa, you know, my jaw dropped. That's wild. I'll be in Antwerp. And so maybe I can go to both.
You know? You should definitely. Yeah. I mean, they really like this opening party. I mean, at RefSpace, we just threw a party with some music and beer and food. These guys really made an effort to actually, they put up a program with lectures, like 2-3 tracks going on at the same time. And they had a really excellent barbecue and DJs at the end. And they really put in the effort to make this happen. And if you see what they did to the space, they've been decorated. I mean, we just moved in and put our stuff there. They didn't. They just put they painted the walls and put cabling in there. And it's really, they really put really effort in it.
Like close attention to detail and really like a labor of love. Wow, I would be interested. Maybe we'll research it, and you know, on the 18th or you know, my last day, I'll stop in before I catch my plane or something.
Definitely.
Who knows? Anything's possible. It's really, really, really cool, and so glad to be a part of it as it's growing, and just, you know, sharing it. It's been really wonderful to sit and talk about it too. I mean, again, I would never have guessed I'd be sitting in Holland talking about this movement and just sharing and, you know, telling stories and you know, being related in this this like community. Just it's very, very, very very cool, very different, and just thrilling.
America, yeah. Maybe some time for some quick music or jingle, maybe.
back to the Hackerspace Hour. ETH Zero is almost over, and I really hate to say it, but you know, how do you say it? Good things come to an end.
All good things must come to an end.
Yeah. So
parting is such sweet sorrow.
Yeah. So I actually want to thank everyone who made the event great. Bueno, who did a lot for the radio. Thank you for that. And Photon Proposition 52.
Definitely, that's important.
If I have fallen short on the radio, just remind that I've been working with my big friend John here on Prop 52.
Yeah.
And we're collecting signatures in the parking lot.
Yes.
Okay, now a serious call out, and that's not a joke. I'm looking for hackers that really want to help me build a website, which will be a very cool website. It's a request coming out of the European Parliament, and I do think that some people do want to help me out on this one.
You know, we start taking over your show now, Dr. Wex.
What the fuck? But I want to thank Flyco for being an awesome kid.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, no problem. I really like your stories, and I hope we meet again at the next conference.
Absolutely. I'm sure our paths will cross, and we'll stay connected and move on into the future.
Nice. And I also want to thank GMC for being an awesome guy.
That's cool to do. Oh, an awesome guy, just all general. Cool.
Yeah. Cool.
We had some nice conversation here. It was great to make these shows. Work with you these past days to do the Hackerspace Hour. And let's do more of them on Hackerspaces Radio.
Yeah, and maybe see you at the next conference with more Hackerspace Hour Radio.
Definitely.
Please dial *611 for assistance.
We get signal, main screen turn on, you're listening to the radio program about hackerspaces. This here little radio program about hackerspaces.